Hey everyone, welcome to Monday's episode of Locked On Cavs. On today's episode, Chris and I discuss three-point shooting and why the Cleveland Cavaliers are in dire need of it, and much, much more. But before we get started, today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at RockAuto.com.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My, my, my. This calls the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving. He's gone. Xbox at him tonight. At the Q.
On the blow block.
He put him in cement boots. Colin Sexton for two.
Chris, how you doing, man? It's been a while since we really sat down and talked with each other voice to voice. How are you?
Sports are good, Evan. That's how I'm feeling on this Sunday evening. This was the first weekend.
Sports and Animal Crossing.
Well, I have an Animal Crossing problem. I'm having to live myself a little bit.
It's funny when he told me that like we pretty much reversed roles and said you were the addict and I was just kind of indifferent on playing it at this point.
Look, I really need us to just like become friends so I can just send you gifts randomly and show my appreciation.
My Switch is sitting at my desk right now. We are friends on Switch, Chris, and actually...
This is a you problem. This isn't a me problem.
Okay, you're just going to throw shade at me.
Yeah. Okay, but...
Otherwise, you're
this
good.
This is the thing. Yeah, but here's... I want to say this. I'm like... You and I are both very much like, let's be healthy, like, let's do these things correctly and safely. It has been a joy this weekend to watch... a ton of WNBA, some NBA scrimmage, have the Cleveland Baseball Club back in action. Like, my weekend, and Tottenham played its last game on Sunday for the season. Like, I've had, and MLS is back, I've had so much sports this weekend in a way that I have not had since the pandemic started.
Yeah, it's a nice feeling.
It feels good.
It is. I do feel guilty saying it feels good sometimes, but no,
yeah,
it is
I
nice.
Do.
But,
I do too.
So far, most knocking on wood here. Every league is staying safe, and I would hope so with multi-billion-dollar organizations like the NBA, WNBA, and MLB, and et cetera, and soccer as well. I'm not going to really get into the nitty-gritty and act like I'm an expert on that, but so far, so good. And
Larry Nance did on Twitter, made my day. Made my day.
I didn't even see what he said. I've been like... We're really switching sides. Like, I'm really keeping myself off Twitter.
Tweet-long thread about the Premier League season. Larry Nance Jr., a man of the people.
Hey, Larry, if you happen to be listening, if you want to come on and shoot the shit about soccer with Chris, you're always more than welcome to.
Locked On Soccer with Larry Nance Jr.
Want to be
and
football.
Then me at like the bottom. Let's go. Locked On Football.
Football. But three-point shooting, Chris. The Cavs are a team that are kind of counterproductive in that regard. I mean, they do have Kevin Love, but they did trade for Andre Drummond, and they seem like they're hitching their wagon to him for a while now. And as much as Andre Drummond thinks he's a three-point shooter and possibly the next Brook Lopez, you and I both know that's not a real thing. So you've been writing about this for Fear of the Sword, and this is a bit of a teaser, but why don't you just... The floor is yours. Where do you want to, like, navigate this conversation, my friend?
Well, I want to... Basically, like, the way we're going to do this is we're going to talk about Kevin Love at the end and about his three-point shooting value because we haven't done that a lot as of late. We're going to talk about internal improvement options because I have a piece coming out on that this week. Evan's writing about free agency fits for the Cavs this upcoming summer, which will be
right,
great.
I am.
Trevor's writing about the draft, which will be great. And we have a roundtable that Jackson Flickinger is going to contribute to as well over for the Sword. But when I was looking at the three-point shooting numbers and diving into this a lot, they were a little better than I thought. 13th in accuracy pre the COVID hiatus, 17th in frequency. There's really just to me an argument looking at the numbers and looking at the personnel that they're probably like not taking enough three-pointers. Like, I think Larry Nance Jr.'s volume should get ratcheted up. I think that's the next step for Darius in a couple different ways, which we'll talk about in internal improvements. I think that's a big part of KPJ's future. I obviously am out on that as a Drummond thing. I want Dante Exum to at least take a more in a season. Like,
wait,
no, his percentage is good on such a low.
Wait. You'd rather have
number.
Dante Exum shooting threes than Andre Drummond? I think I'd rather have Andre Drummond shooting threes than Dante Exum.
I would not. I want Andre rolling in the dunker spot.
That ain't
like if
fly,
you're talking
though.
About optimizing Andre Drummond, it is him in the dunker spot. It is him taking advantage of space created for him. And if you look at the way the Cavs are set up, like they're what they're doing is leaning into where the league is headed a little bit. Like that is to me like the way you look. Like let's just say Dylan Windler. Dylan Windler is a clear internal improvement option. Mm-hmm. You know, I think pure talent alone, he would probably tell you that Kevin Porter Jr. is a much more talented basketball player than him. But Windler went first, and the Cavs drafted him for one reason: it's 3-point shooting. I think the Cavs have guys that can do it. I think they're fit. They're still guys that are growing into things. And I don't expect them to become the Budenholzer Bucks, but I think leaning into that part of their game more and generating things a little bit more in particular and really just emphasizing that shot, I think is something that will help them. I mean, this is a team that had a bad offense, but mm-hmm. has guys like Jetty Osman, guys like so Sexton, Love, Osman, all around league average. League average is like around, I believe, 37-38%. You have guys that like Nance and Porter and Garland that are like right under that. Dele was only at 22% last year, which is a huge, huge concern for him kind of hanging around in the league.
Oh, his shot's but broken. If you look, it's a bummer, Dele.
It sucks. But my I guess my point is, like, I think the Cavs, like, have guys that can do it. I think they're going to have to keep growing. It banks a lot on internal improvement. Mm-hmm. But I think if the Cavs are going to become competent sooner rather than later, it's going to be because they're going to be a quality offensive team that is passable on defense. And I think 3-point shooting is a way you get there. And I just can't read the success of this team becoming like defense. It's just not going to be there, I don't think. I think 3-point shooting is going to have to become a big part of their identity and any successful identity they have in the next like year or two.
I guess my question for you is, before we really start breaking down the nitty gritty of it, like in the grand scheme of things with the draft and free agency looming for the Cavs, and possibly there's a Chicago bubble in between to get a better idea of where certain players are at. But you have Colin Sexton, you have Darius Garland, you have Dylan Windler, you have Jetty Osman. Those four are there for sure. Kevin Porter Jr. is a competent enough 3-point shooter. I want to believe that his stroke will get better, and that the Cavs shooting coaching, Cavs player development staff and their shooting coaches will improve that as well. And then Kevin Love will be here for a bit. Larry Nance Jr. is also a solid 3-point shooter. That's 7 players there. Andre Drummond will attempt them, even though we don't want them to. That's 8. Do you think that's going to impact Cleveland's focus heading into free agency in the draft? Like, we talked about Isaac Okoro a while back, and that seems like a player that's becoming more and more linked to the Cavs. I mean, James Wiseman as well, who's been a recent development, and I'm hearing that the Cavs are very much interested in him. Those aren't really players that you expect to shoot threes, but maybe, at least in Okoro's case, are competent and like really good defenders. I mean, Devin Vassell as well, but he's also a really good 3-point shooter and kind of brings a little bit of what everything Cleveland's doing. Do you think they're going to stop investing so much in offense and maybe start focusing on that defense? So like you said, that they can kind of just be balanced on both ends of the court?
No.
No?
I don't think you can. Like, I think even if you draft Isaac Okoro or Devin Vassell, these guys that are...
He's not going to be the band-aid to fix everything, but he can maybe help plug the gap a little bit.
But if you like draft guys that are competent on defense, I think just the way, like reading what coaches had to say to like people like Zach Lowe, and reading what some of the like some, there's a really good Ringer piece by Zach Cram about the data behind the 3-point shooting. The offense is ahead of the defense. The defense mm-hmm. is not caught up to this yet. And I think you don't want to draft like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist with your third pick or your second pick or whatever.
No.
Like, I don't think you can afford to do that. Teams are just going to cramp your space. And I think especially because you have, like, I've come to this conclusion that I'll reveal a little more later, but I think, like, with Drummond in particular, when you have a guy that needs to feast so much at the rim, like, you can only, like, just the way the game is played, I think you can only sacrifice so much spacing around that.
Mm-hmm.
I think even if you draft Isaac Okoro, I think it has to be in the belief that his shot can get fixed and that he can become a 3-point shooter, maybe not next year, but the year after that. I think for all of these guys that they could be looking at in the draft, I think 3-point shooting kind of has to be a thing. The only, yeah. like, I guess, example that wouldn't be that would be, you know, if you go the Wiseman route and you want him to, like, just replace Drummond because Drummond's going to leave, okay, that's one thing. Or if you want to go Onyeka Okongwu and go that way and be like, okay, maybe this guy can
Penny
get
Hardaway
there eventually, but like
compared Wiseman to Chris Bosh, so could be a 3-point
look,
shot there.
I hate player comps. Like I find them very like
the hardest because like you get like the absolute best and absolute worst case scenario with Kevin O'Connor's big board.
Yes. I just think like shooting is going to factor in for all these guys. I think it is just too important for where the league is at for us to ignore it in any way.
Oh, no, I agree. And if we're really like
price. Evan, I want to ask you this. Do you consider this a big need? Because I just want to say transparently, I came up with the needs for the series. I like talked to you about them, but it was ultimately just like Chris Manning's brain is just going to go in overdrive. Do you agree with me that this is a need that we needed to discuss on this podcast and write about in detail at Fear the Sword?
Yes, yes, and yes, because Evan Damerel's brain and Chris Manning's brain operates very similarly in how this team should be built and how certain pieces should be put together and played. And looking at you again, Andre and JB, but yeah, if we weren't really just drafting on talent, I would pick Devin Vassell because he covers a lot of what Cleveland needs. Again, he's not going to fix all of their defensive woes, but he's a competent and overall very good perimeter defender. His ceiling's a little bit more limited, a lot like Dylan Windler, because he is a, I guess you want to call an older prospect as a sophomore, but whatever, this isn't the best draft class to really be too nitpicky about, but he really does fill a lot of needs for what the Cavs need as well, because he is a good three-point shooter. But yeah, overall, the Cavs have a lot of promising pieces, but they need to start putting together an idea of what they are. And leaning heavily on a three-point barrage like a lot of the modern NBA has, not to the point where it's annoying like the Rockets, but maybe just like the Cavs had before when they had Kyrie and Korver and JR, and just like when they surrounded LeBron with all these shooters. Like, I think that's just a smart way to build a team, and that's a priority you need to take in modern NBA. But like, it gives me pause though when they trade for Andre Drummond and then really, really, really want to make Andre Drummond work and, you know, have hopes and dreams and ambitions that he could be a franchise piece going forward as this at the center spot. But I don't know, maybe Andre, like, you just have him as a rebounder that just gobbles up every board possible and kicks it back out to shooters. Like, that'd be such an awesome role for him going forward, and as long as like as well as a rim runner and everything, as a pick and roll partner for his teammates as well. But I just, the Cavs are kind of at a weird spot where I like what some of the pieces they have, but yeah, no, you just keep adding shooters, and it's not a bad thing to have. And JB certainly runs a lot more mono of an offense than John Boeheim does, and the fact that it's more pick and roll heavy than set plays like Boeheim had. So I'm always open to adding more 3-point shooters, and I think, yeah, no, it's definitely a need for the Cavs as well.
I'll say this as we kind of wrap up the first segment here. When I was thinking about like the Boeheim hire a little bit in the context of this, as much as like that didn't work out, the idea of bringing in a motion offense to generate good looks, and particularly 3-point looks and shots, kind of getting guys on the move to get to the rim a little bit, is the kind of offense I think you want for a team like the Cavs. Like, you don't have the luxury of a Giannis,
no,
in a Budenholzer system and just kind of running things that way, or even like you don't have a guy like
the Cavs, just like don't a LeBron have the guy.
Right, you don't have the guy, so you need to make things easier for everyone and kind of. Like, if you want to look at how the Brooklyn Nets had success with Kenny Atkinson, it's because his system really generated good stuff for those guys. And they also have good players, and they play hard and all that. But the system really emphasized that. I think the Cavs have yet to show that they have that. I'm willing to give them somewhat of a pass last year because of how weird that season was. But that is probably a top three question for next year. It's like, what is the offensive system, and how is it kind of highlighting the things that they're trying to get out of certain guys, which we'll talk about more, kind of talking about with some of the other things we're going to talk about, not just this week, but in coming weeks.
No, absolutely. And speaking of motion, if you really want to get in motion like John Boeheim was getting out of Cleveland, you need a functioning car, especially in the harsh winters of Northeast Ohio, because it was cold how his time in Cleveland ended, and even more so cold outside in Cleveland. I remember it was a chilly night that night. And what better way to get it going on the road and safe and sound, especially in the winter or in the summer like we are now, is than using rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, get everything you need at RockAuto.com in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Chris and I will be right back. Everybody is discussing internal improvements in terms of three-point shooting for the Cavaliers right after this. All right, we're back. Thank you again to RockAuto.com for being our title sponsor and sponsor of this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. Chris, we're kind of looking ahead of what the Cavs need to do, but internally as well, they are showing potential as a three-point shooting team, like especially in their younger prospects. Darius Garland still gives me pause because we're not really sure what he is, but I mean, like, Colin Sexton is our most tangible example of, one, the player development staff being really good in Cleveland. There's not a lot to hang your hat on within the overall structure of the Cavaliers organization, but their player development staff is top-notch, and they've turned a lot of players into reliable shooters. Sexton, Osman, Porter, Nance, you name it. But Colin is such a workaholic that his three-point shot has become a mainstay of his game, and it's honestly impressive just to see his internal growth. And I don't know, we have a roundtable discussion coming out with Jackson, and we talked about, like, who is our most reliable option going forward for the Cavs, like, who would we place our money on. I pick Sexton because I'm a big believer and advocate in just his growth and development.
Yeah. Can I just say that I went back and was like, I found it, or I don't know if I remember I'd seen it before, but the video of him shooting like really deep threes in a gym, with the song Ambition by Wale playing, is just Colin Sexton. Whoever tweeted that for you, like, knows your brand, and they're doing a great job. They're doing a great, great job. If he adds that to his game, that's massive. Like, I think we're at the point with him. We've said this a lot. Brittany Mollis, hello. We're here to say nice thing about Colin Sexton. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that, like, obviously has a lot of stuff he does really well. The three-point shooting thing is an incredible thing. I think his scoring is obviously just going to be something that really pops for him. And, like, if you want to just compare him to, like, Darius Garland, when I was going through their tape and looking kind of what they do, Garland has this ability, I think, to kind of pop off a little more in terms of his natural ability to shoot deep. It's a developed skill for Sexton. Isn't Garland, I guess, just done sooner, I guess, is a better way to put it. But Sexton, whereas, like, he's kind of more comfortable catching and shooting, which is crazy considering what he was at Alabama, and he's going to be the volume guy. I think Garland has a lot of potential to not just get shots better off for himself with a year where maybe he's just healthier, but also create for others. I don't know if you have watched the clips I put in there, Evan, but there's some really interesting stuff that you can read in the post when it goes up. I think this one's going to run Tuesday or Wednesday, I can't remember. But there's some really interesting stuff for Garland in terms of his ability to get inside and then find others. Like, he actually has a pretty good knack for it, even if it's probably a little inconsistent. Yeah. But there's a lot of good outcomes for him and stuff that, like, you're like, oh, okay, he at least kind of knows where guys are on the floor and knows when guys are going to kind of slide open and is aware of that in a way Sexton just kind of isn't. And that's fine. Like, they can definitely complement each other in that way. But Sexton, like, I think has the volume of the shooting down. But Garland kind of has the more upside in terms of him being a playmaker to create threes for other people.
I want to gasp, but I don't want to, like, blow people's eardrums out by being too loud. But, Chris, are you giving praise to Darius Garland and Colin Sexton in the same breath? Is that allowed?
Apparently.
Is that allowed? Might have to ask for the manager. Okay, Karen. No, that's fair. Like, I don't know what the male equivalent is, but I'm watching the clip now, and yeah, this is just a lot of what we talked about with Darius Garland. He didn't really have a complete rookie season. Injuries really held him back, but these are that pass to Jetty right there. I mean, those of you watching the post, maybe listen along, the pass to Clarkson, one of the best shooters for the Cavs, weirdly enough. The pass to Love, like, he's just really good at driving into the lane and then kicking it out and making the smart and right read. Like, that's just something you don't really get with Sexton, which is fine. Colin is a volume scorer who was showing potential as a basic enough and good enough and competent enough playmaker and just an easier pick and roll system in JB Bickerstaff. And that's something we never got to see with Darius because he was largely injured and sidelined when JB took the reins as head coach. And I'm interested to see what he's been working on this summer. And maybe that's something I'll be, like, really focused in on, like, what he does. And it's just mesmerizing watching this. I keep losing my train of thought just watching him make these passes because they're just such simple reads. But I think for the longest time, the Cavs haven't really had a young prospect like this where he can make simple rudimentary reads like this that are just the smart right pass. That makes me excited for the fact that the Cavs actually may have landed their point guard of the future. And like I said, the Cat, or at least for Garland's sake, wasn't able to put this rookie year together entirely, which just a lot of things going against him. So I'm not really willing to throw the book at him, sell the ship on him yet. But And just stuff like this is encouraging. Maybe it's just stuff that I've kind of forgotten about too, because it really is easy to get down on this Cavs season as a whole, and just a lot of fun just from watching Gabe Darius play.
My favorite one in that clip is the one where he finds KPJ in the corner and he like looks away with a little flare too, but he kind of knew where he was going to go and just placed it perfectly. Like, just really kind of interesting stuff from Darius. Speaking of
KPJ and Darius, did you see they were going fishing with Dean Wade and Dylan over the weekend?
Good for them. I actually was good about staying off social, but I'm happy for them. Colin was too busy in the gym. Like,
Colin is a robot.
Colin's just grinding.
His teammates have told us.
Colin.
That's still like one of my favorite quotes is when I think Dylan Windler said, like, I don't think he really does anything. Or maybe it was Larry Nance, but he just like sits on his couch and waits for us to play again. And that's when he does something. He's like the Terminator.
When I interviewed Colin before his rookie year, I asked him, like, I was just trying to, it was a really like not a long interview as you kind of know with Colin.
Oh yeah. He's a short guy.
But I asked him like, what's the last, like, what has he been doing? He's like, oh, I've seen a couple movies. I'm like, oh, what'd you see? He's like, I saw The Equalizer. And he's just like, what else? Like, that was it. That's like the only movie I've seen recently. I'm just like, he's like, yeah, I just hoop. I'm just like, okay.
I respect
that, it's truly like kind of impressive. Yeah. And Evan, I want to ask you this too, just kind of, he's a guy that can create his own shot a little bit. But if you, there's that kind of shot, I wrote about this in the internal improvement thing about like guys that can just create their own shot. Kind of James Harden's like the kind of extreme example of this, the mathy analytic example of this, but that crossover, the cross back, like the kind of get your own shot off, get that step back shot off and creating kind of these tight defensive settings. And this is particularly, you know, big playoff moments and closely contested games at the highest level. You need that kind of scoring. Which one of the Cavs young guys right now do you feel like has the most upside at becoming that kind of scorer?
I still think it's Sexton.
Okay.
I can't discount the fact that I had so many reservations about the player he was coming out of Alabama, like the concerns where we thought he was going to be a better defensive prospect than we thought. And an okay, like, just ball-hogging offensive prospect, but there are defense out the window just because he's undersized and a smaller guard, at least comparatively, especially putting him into the two spot. But offensively, he's just adding so much to his repertoire and game that I'm not going to put a ceiling or cap on it. And I feel comfortable in saying that he is going to be Cleveland's top offensive prospect in the regard you were discussing, just long term. Like, I think I touched on this a little bit, like, at least in terms of 3-point shooting, Dylan Windler has the package, but I need to see a healthy Dylan Windler actually play meaningful minutes for this Cavaliers team before I can put him in that conversation. So I'm just going to take Sexton and keep going. Like, I'm going to ride the train until it crashes.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be Windler's game either. Like, I think he's going to be very stationary with, like, a little bit of kind of sauce on there, with a little creation in there. But if it's not Sexton, I think it's KPJ.
Yeah, I think KPJ is a fair thing. I think
the Miami game is like proof that he already has some of those tricks in his bag.
Well, the Miami game too, they did not respect his 3-point shooting ability as well, and he made him pay for it.
Did you remember that Tristan Thompson compared him to James Harden this year?
I do, and I think that's still a comparison that's floating around on social and everything every now and then when I look up like just what people are saying nice things about KPJ, but no. He's definitely not Nick Young. He's definitely not like a black hole like that. Thankfully, I think KPJ's really squashed any concerns or meaningful concerns I had, and I bought into the hype pretty easily, like I did with Sexton. But I still think Harden's just a different breed of player. Like,
he's one of one. Like, he's honestly almost underrated because of how like annoying he gets.
Oh yeah. Oh, he's super annoying in the media, and like, I personally don't enjoy watching him play but he has such a penchant, just pulling out some verbiage there to flex my big brain for everyone listening, but he has such an ability to draw free throws at such relative ease, and he even did it in Oklahoma City so well, like, you forget about that, but like, in Houston, it became super annoying, and, it's you see it a little bit with Trae Young this year, where Trae Young's like hunting for fouls like James Harden does, but James Harden does it so well, like, it's really impressive, and like, I don't enjoy watching that, but yeah, he's one of one, just how offensively gifted he is, because yeah, he can draw fouls, but he can also just cook you in so many different ways, and it's unreal how poorly the Rockets manage that whole situation with him, where like, they have such a nuclear offensive player in James Harden, and they're not able to really put a competent roster around him. Like, they have some good pieces, but that is, like, such a shame that we really can't watch James Harden, like, go toe-to-toe with the team in the NBA Finals because the Rockets can't completely complement and build around him. Like, making him a point guard, in a sense, was a smart move, but, God, he's such a talented player.
Yeah. You want to take one more break?
Yeah, I think so. And we're going to talk about old man Love himself, the last remaining member of the Big Three. And, yeah, no, just keep listening, guys, and we'll be right back with more Locked On Cavs. All right, we are back, and Chris, Kevin Love, he doesn't love being here at this point. There's a pun there for everyone listening. I think he's more or less resigned himself to the fact that he is going to be stuck here till possibly the trade deadline. I mean, if Giannis does sign a Supermax with the Bucks, I think that opens up a lot of teams' options where we're saying, like, okay, maybe we need to grab just, like, another complimentary star caliber piece to push us over the edge. And, like, I've kicked the tires on the idea of the Nets doing it. The Nets could throw a nice package at Cleveland if they really want to get Kevin Love, and I think that would push them over the edge in Eastern Conference contention with just, even if it isn't 100% Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving, like, Kevin Love is really good, and I think we kind of forget that because this Cavs team's really bad, and we'll see what happens this year. Maybe, I wrote about this for our roundtable discussion as well, but maybe Colin Sexton and, God willing, Andre Drummond or somebody else keeps defenses honest, and that way we can maybe see Kevin Love, who isn't getting completely smothered on defense, or if the Cavs are actually playing, like, meaningful, strong basketball, you don't get a Kevin Love that's mentally checked out and just doesn't want to be here. Like, I think if you put Kevin Love in a winning situation, he would be a lot better off, and I think a lot of people would stop crapping on him so hard like they do here.
Well, yeah, but I think in the Cavs context, he's interesting to think about just because I don't think Minnesota Kevin Love exists anymore in the way they're seemingly going to play next year. Because when I was doing some deep dive on his numbers, for the three-point numbers in particular, like, he's gone up from, he took about 20% of his shots with the Wolves his last year when he was, like, kind of peak Kevin Love from three, and that was up to 40% last year. The way the game's changed, the way the Cavs have used him, his prime, I think really, and you kind of are, like, in the middle on this, I'm pretty much sure that, like, unless they play him at the five and allow him to be moved in a little bit, then, like, you're not going to get that Kevin again. And just because of the way the Cavs roster is and just the way things are, the problem is Kevin's not going to want to do that. He's not going to want to do that in particular.
He's told a lot of us he hates playing center, so
he can't be that guy. He just cannot do that elbow stuff the way the Cavs roster is as a four.
No.
The only way you can get around this is if Larry Nance is going to play with him, which we haven't actually seen a lot of the last year and a half, and Larry Nance also doesn't love playing center.
No, I mean, yeah, that's the problem. Like, maybe you tell Kevin to nut up and shut up and you just put him. It's a terrible thing to say.
JB has a better chance of doing that than John Beilein.
Oh, yeah, no, JB at least has this respect of Kevin Love and the attention of this roster where I can't remember what. I mean, granted, they were playing with LeBron, but I remember the Cavs rolled out, like, LeBron at the three, Larry at the four, and Kevin at the five. They were super, super good offensively. Like, I don't know the statistics off the top of my head, but, like, the metrics and advanced metrics for it were just saying, like, yeah, no, this is a really smart offensive lineup for the Cavs, and they never went to it, and it always bummed me out because when they did do it, like, the Cavs were just clicking and humming really well on offense because you could get Kevin and Larry to kind of take a timeshare option on defense where who got to defend the five, and then I don't know, maybe they try it again with the three big lineup where you have Larry at the three, Kevin at the four, Tristan, or if he's still here, or Andre at the five, and then you just kind of exploit that matchup in that regard. Maybe you can kind of get them on board with that if you do that, where you just say, like, you're not going to be defending fives the entire time, but there are going to be times when you're defending a five where maybe it definitely wouldn't work against Embiid because I think Embiid's such a good defender and such a good switchy defender that it makes it a lot harder. And then Jokic, it could work because Jokic does have a little bit of his own lumps as well. But I don't know. It's tough because I think if you got Kevin to fully commit playing the five at this point in his career, even at 6'8", which, I mean, after height gate, everyone's a lot smaller than they actually are. Larry Nance downgraded again from a 4 to a 3 in terms of height overall. But he would work so well. One for the Cavs, like you said. But then therein, which is a problem of, like, Andre Drummond, who is a traditional center, like, you can't encourage him to, like, float to the perimeter if you want to bring Kevin closer inside at the center. And then But if you like put him on a contending team, if you actually put him like with a smart offensive tactician coach, I think there's some pretty good potential there. Like, he'd be a lot of fun in New Orleans too, alongside Zion. Like, Zion at the 4, Kevin at the 5 would be a ton of fun to watch.
Yeah, you need something weird like that, and the only way the Cavs get there is that if they just play him with Larry Nance a lot, or like,
yeah,
or if he's just willing to play the 5. And I understand him not wanting to do that against Embiid. Defensively, that's just a nightmare for the Cavs. Like, that's really one of the limits on Kevin versus like a Chris Bosh, is that like Kevin's defense is just not going to hold up.
No, Chris Bosh is, again, like a one-of-one kind of player where he was very, very good in Toronto and then completely remade his game and just embraced playing the 5 next to LeBron and just, like, one of the most perfect players you could put alongside LeBron besides Prime Wade and Kyrie.
Some of that Kevin stuff just isn't going to be there. So I really think, especially with the way, again, just with the way the Cavs roster is designed, so much of Kevin's primary role is just going to be spacing and gravity. And you know, I think there's certainly stuff you can do to kind of make up for some of these other issues, but, you know, I think that's his primary value. But we'll talk about that. I'm sure Kevin Love is going to come up more the next several weeks as we keep going here.
I thought you were going to say he's coming on the show. I'm like, this is news to me.
I wish.
Talk movies. God, we could fill up like three
movies about talking movies. We will gladly just come on and talk movies.
We won't even talk hoops, but like, hey, you play for the Cavs. This is a show about the Cavs, but let's talk about your other interest. Dogs?
Yeah, let's talk about your puppy, and let's talk about your movie watching in quarantine.
Exactly. I think we'd get along well with Kevin. I know he's a celebrity who has many friends and a supermodel girlfriend to keep him company, but two nerdy white dudes and who cover the team that he plays for, I think we'd get along pretty well.
Yes.
I had a question about Kevin. Worst case scenario, if the Cavs drafted Obi Toppin and they played Obi Toppin at the 4 and Kevin at the 5, how quickly would you check out mentally when watching them on defense? I think,
but I will be distraught, put it that way.
I will be too, but Obi Toppin's on their second tier, so if I could be mispronouncing it, but if you pronounce it Toppin, you could talk it's like sloppy Toppin. That's the Cavs defense right there. But no, I think that's a good place to stop, though. It's just Kevin Love is still, in my opinion, underappreciated, but I think he is better suited at the 5, but it's going to be very hard to get him to play the 5. Maybe JB can talk him into it, but I just don't see it happening. He's been so against it, even with like the best coach in franchise history telling him, like, oh, no, he's going to play the 5 more. And at Media Day, he said, I'm not exactly thrilled about it, but I'll do what's best for the team. Like, that's not a good way to really get your message out there.
Yes.
So... yeah, no. Chris, it's good to have you back. We had a lot. I feel like,
we had a lot. You and I just, you know, binge recorded last week, and so it's good that we're back in each other's lives.
And you're always in my life, Chris. I just text you about what's the hap and everything else, but
yes, sir.
No, we it feels like I bit off more than I can chew, but after this project is coming together, we have something fun coming up for the next couple of episodes after everything else we kind of have going on, but we'll have as much committed Cavs coverage as we can amidst a quarantine and them not really doing anything meaningful till September at the earliest. The lottery is less than a month away at this point. I think it's actually, it's definitely less than a month away at this point, so keep your ears peeled for that. Maybe we'll start hearing some draft rumblings around then or after that, but until then, just keep hanging out with us. Thanks for keeping us company. Our numbers are still, not to flex, doing pretty well, all things considered. But thanks guys for listening. And Chris, is there anything you want to say to the fine folks at home before we wrap up Monday's episode?
Wear a mask, buy an orange WNBA hoodie if you can, because those are hot commodities.
Yeah, no, please wear a mask. Like, I'll tweet it again from the account. Like, I don't care. But yeah, no, please wear a mask and support the WNBA. Lockdown Liberty is still a work in progress, and it's just more so me holding up. But until next time, guys, we'll talk to you soon. Go Cavs. We'll be right back.